stuff. It was great.
Now it's recording.
Right, now's the funny stuff. Okay.
Now we've got to reenact all the funny bits we just put in. I just also priced up my collection.
Oh, yes. Are you sitting on a gold mine there?
Yeah.
Apparently. Whoa. Wowzers.
Welcome, dear listeners. This is episode 124 of the Devon Dice podcast, recorded on the 7th of April, 2024. In this podcast, we'll be wrapping up with all the board gaming news and crowdfunders plus games we've been playing. I'm your host, Joel. Joining me tonight is Nick.
Hello, folks.
Sam is on sick leave. Lewis is AWOL again. He has messaged me, don't worry. He's still alive. And Claire is probably doing something far more useful with her time.
Yep, knowing what she is doing with her time, it is actually my far more useful, I think.
She laughed at that comment. I read it out. So, we're back. It's just me and Nick, as yep. I alluded to. But we got a packed show for you, to everything from news, Kickstarters, and, as I said, played games. So let's get on with this. Nick brought this news. Well, he's actually pretty much brought all the news up this episode. So we'll let him roll with it.
So this first one is news that the publishers Capstone Games and Spielworks have partnered up. Capstone are going to be distributing, or maybe even publishing, I think, Spielworks games in North America. They've nice. Announced three games for their starting lineup, which are Raising Chicago, Epos, Argento's game, and how do you pronounce that? Dolcissima Vita. Number one of the New Italian Trilogy. That sounds interesting. So these are, I've heard of Epos and Gento's game, but I've not heard of the other two, really. But these sound interesting, because Spielworks do some really good games. Capstone, as most people will know, do very nice games. Very good quality, good fun games. So this sounds like a really interesting partnership that they're going to do to distribute more of the German publishers' games in the North America. I don't know what it means for UK distribution, because Spielworks are generally available in the UK anyway. But it'd be nice to see if Capstone do any differences in the version they do, or they are literally just redistributing it in the US. But it'd be interesting to see, because there's a really, really good catalogue that Spielworks have got.
Okay. Ah. Also looking on, I think they've got their own Phantom sleeves for cards.
Oh, yes, in their news. That's Capstone, isn't it? Yeah.
So a quick way of ordering the cards you need for the games you just brought from them.
That's quite cool, yeah. So you can...
Oh, actually, it lists loads of games. Yeah.
That's their bulk.
Actually, no, these are Capstone games, actually.
Yeah.
So, yeah, interesting.
That'd be some good stuff.
Definitely. Just got to say, is that Gente's, what was it, Epos?
Is that Epos,
the same as Gents, or is it Gents a completely different game?
It's a different game, but I think it is like a reworking.
Right.
Because it was I remember we discussed it at some point a few months ago. It's effectively a re-implementation of Gents. So it looks like very much the same game. But it says it's set in the Gents universe, so it may be very different. I don't know, but there's not a lot of information about it. There's only three images on Board Game Geek. The description is quite detailed, I suppose, but it sounds very very similar in style. But it has a campaign mode apparently as well.
Oh, nice
scenarios. So it'd be quite nice. But yeah, I like Gents, so Epos sounds like it'd be a one to watch there.
Awesome.
Next on the list, do you want to do this one, Joel?
Oink Games is reprinting Zuli. So they seem to, I don't know if they're sharing the game with the original designer / publisher, or they've taken over full control of it. I think that's unclear of. But they've renamed it Moving Wild, And they've also redone the artwork, which I am still trying to get my head around whether I like it or not.
Yeah, so, I think that as well. It's very stylized, I would say.
Yes.
It's quite... I mean, it's very different. It's still got that playfulness that Zuli had.
Yeah.
And they've simplified the terrain, so the terrain is just marked at the bottom of the card effectively as little wibbly lines of different shapes and colours.
Yeah.
But yeah, the animals are all kind of roundy and squarey and kind of more blocky than the original artwork. They're all kind of in profile. They're not front-facing. They're just playful and very clear. It's very clear what they are.
It's very bright.
But yes, it's very primary colours, I would say.
Yeah. I mean, some people mocked the original because it had this kind of childish look to it, and everyone presumes it's a child's game, but it's actually quite a straight up, like,
yes, decent,
not a heavy
builder,
game,
yeah.
But there's a decent strategy to it kind of thing, with these smiling, cute animals on the front, and actually I quite like that charm to it. This, I don't know.
Yeah, it's all...
I can't get my head around it.
Zuli looks like it was all nicely kind of hand-drawn and characterized, caricatured of the animals. And these are more like vector graphics that they've put on there, which is probably what they are. They're probably implemented vector graphics. But it's in the Yoink style, I think. So I think it fits with their line and their style.
And apparently you're going to get... There's going to be a couple of extra animals in this as well. So
yeah.
Yeah, be
which makes me wonder: do I need to get this one as well as the copy of Zuli I have already?
Oh, this is it.
But then it's going to be cheap because it's a little small box Oink game, so it's not going to be expensive to get. But you know, do I really need another copy? But we'll see.
I do believe the original designer. Oh, I've forgotten his name now. I had it a minute ago. I'm sure, it's
designer
like Chris.
Is Chris Prescott.
That's it, Chris Prescott. He's actually got another game in the works, so...
Oh, does he? Nice.
Yeah. So, I think it's going to feature at the next UK Games Expo. So,
oh, sweet. Which is where...
Looking
Zuli
forward to that.
Else,
yeah.
Yeah, that'd be really cool. I'll have to look it up. Is that Molehill Meadows? Is that...
Sounds about right.
Yeah, I think that's Molehill Meadows, yeah.
I mean, it just came into my head there. That's why I'm just going all kind of like, oh, and this is happening as well. So I just remember seeing it. So
yeah, that's cool. Very nice. So yeah, that's an exciting one. Next up, CGE have announced the game that they are going to be bringing out at Essen. And this is SETI, Search for Extraterrestrial Intelligence. And this is one that Sam was very excited about. He loved the theme on this one. I like the idea of this theme. It sounds fun. It kind of has... There's not much information about it, again, on Board Game Geek yet. But there is what looks like a board with modular pieces that slot into this kind of circular galaxy shape with different things on. Various cards that you're playing for various effects. We don't know much more than that, but it's initially looks very interesting. It says it plays 40 to 160 minutes, which is a very wide span. So that sounds like it's player count dependent on the length of play. But yeah, it sounds like it could be interesting. Multi-use cards, resource movement. Just looking at what other things, variable setup, turn order. That sounds like a fun one. It's going to be probably CGE's good quality production. That sounds one to watch out for. Do you want to take the next one?
So Babylon, not Babylon 5, which I first thought straight away when I saw the name of it. That would have been great, yeah. No, Babylon is the Babylon of the Hanging Gardens of Babylon. This is a 3D building game. It reminds you a bit of another one that's on my shelf, and I can't see it as we net. Hold on a minute.
Medina. Yeah.
Medina. That had just wooden columns and card for platforms, whereas it's got plastic features, not just columns, but there's stairs, there's bridges.
Yeah, bridges and things, and yeah.
And things like that.
And it looks like what you do is you kind of put up kind of almost columns, and then you place tiles on top of the columns to then create another level platform to put more bits on. And you've got these little statues, staircases, bridges. Looks very interesting. It's all work in progress images on WorldGameGeek. But yeah, it looks really interesting.
I will wonder how much this will cost, because there seems like there's enough for four people in it. And I'm looking at some of the
lot of plastic
images. Oh, there's a lot. Oh, there's a lot of plastic in it. I found an image of
The image with all the bits on the sides. Yeah,
in the box, and it's, that's a lot.
But there's a lot. I mean, they're not big bits of plastic each. All kind of Foundations of Rome level of miniature. It's a lot of plastic. So we will see how much this ends up costing.
And I have to put this on my to view list. And it goes.
Yep. So and it appears.
Who's this with again?
This is a publisher called Geek Attitude Games.
I wonder if they're going to UK Games Expo.
So shall have to look them up.
Mm.
It's a Belgian publisher.
Belgian publisher, yeah. Might be.
Yeah, so they might well be.
Yeah, I'll have a look at that, hopefully.
Yeah, they've done some of their other publishers.
Something Sam pointed out. There's a new board game arena,
site, a new online board game site. Yes, challenger. So it's a BGA. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's called Game Park. So GAME-PARK.com, and it is like Board Game Arena. We can go up, sign in, and play their games they've got listed. They've only got a few at the minute, but there's a couple of interesting ones I would love to try and play. Well, I've already played one of them. so it's got The Hunger on it. I love that game. So I would love to play that. Fistful of Meeples is another one I played.
Mm-hmm.
Try that again. But there's a few games.
A good one.
Sorry, excuse me.
Bless you.
There's a few games on here that are like, I haven't heard of that, or I'll give that a try.
Mm. Have you played some on there then already? Did you play any?
So I'm going to sneeze again. No, I haven't.
I think I'll have to try it out.
Yeah, I have to try it out when I get time. Feels like,
I mean, there's no.
None.
As far as I can tell, there's no kind of premium level subscription or anything.
Oh, I think they need to build
up. There's a subscribe button. Yes, you can subscribe, but I don't know if what that gives you when you subscribe.
That's probably just news.
18 euros a month, or 5 euros. Sorry, 5 euros a month, 18 euros per year for the first year, and then 30 per year after that. What does that give you? Features host friendly games, join exclusive tournaments, and choose your favourite colour. And more to come. Because, that's not a lot yet. But I imagine they might do a BGA style premium game thing.
Maybe.
But nice little list of games. Wait to see how it looks in when they're playing. Nice to get something else to challenge BGA.
Yeah. I mean, BGA's not doing anything wrong. The pricing is like, if you go with premium, is still an excellent
still very
price.
Mm. Yeah.
And the games they keep adding is a lot.
Oh, it's loads.
Yeah. I think
it's
really
being helped
from COVID.
Owned by Asmodee, isn't it?
Well, I don't know. Before COVID, I always remember before COVID, it was just like there was a few games.
Yeah, they would drip feed them, wouldn't they, rather?
And it'd be once in a while they'll add a new game or something like that. But at the minute, it is
it's
just
all
seems
the
like
time,
a constant. Yeah. Constant.
And there's loads.
A new game. And yeah. And
it's a good
we'll
quality game
to that
as well, do.
In the next episode. So
stay tuned.
More to come from that. Yep.
Foreboding. I love it.
Next up, I think, is Nick's favourite part of the year.
Absolutely. It's the annual April Fool's roundup of silly board game announcements. which always makes me laugh. So you've got the first one I saw that came up was Board Game Arena, as we just mentioned, Board Game Arena. They announced that they were going to do an analog cafe. They would actually do a physical arena cafe in which it would be in the heart of Paris. You could go and play with live giant screens to play against your opponents. So you're not actually playing the games, you're just playing on BGA in their cafe together on the screens. Nice comforting seating arrangements with badges and things. But of course, premium members get extras. So if you have a premium member, you can choose your table, and also you unlock the ability to use the toilets as well in the cafe. and unlimited dice rolls until you get the exact score you're thriving for as well, which is great stuff. So yeah, that was very funny. I like that one. And then there were various ones that I found on Facebook. There's a regular thread that moderator Chris from Flip the Table puts up every year on the Flip the Table Facebook page, for people to list ones they found. So this is a small sample. I'll go through these quickly. Days of Wonder announced Ticket to Ride, a moon adventure where you're flying to the moon and back, which had a playtime of 27 days, which I thought was brilliant. Mm-hmm. Although it had little miniature space rockets and all the cards were like rockets, and I think that would be really quite cool to do as a real game, actually. That'd be fun. Another one which would be really cool is the Lookout Games, who publish Forest Shuffle, announced one called Dragon Shuffle, which was all rethemed with dragon artwork as a clear dig at Wormspan, I think. But yeah, they actually had a number of cards illustrated as the example picture. It actually looked like it'd be really quite fun to do.
Do you know what? They could have done this now this could be a game that where you create the dragon. So you have the body in the middle, you've got a head on top,
bits, yeah.
Wings.
Yeah.
Wings on the side and feet or tail at the bottom. Oh, that could be an awesome game of creating a kind of dragon.
Yeah.
So missed an opportunity there.
They always come up, often people always say, you should really make that. It'd be really good. And yeah, some of these, really, really good.
Mm.
The next one was Ravensburger decided they would bring out a range of fragrances. The first one being Eau de Puzzle, the first fragrance from Ravensburger, which is the smell of the jigsaw puzzles when you open their box. Which I thought was
nice.
Rather charming.
Claire would love that.
I mean, the new board game smell is always... Oh, it's such a good smell when you open that box.
The first time. I know.
Yeah, so yeah, bottle that. Oh, brilliant. And just spray it around game stores as people walk in. Great. Lucky Duck Games. Now, I don't know if they announced this themselves, because I couldn't find any original link to this. But Lucky Duck did mention it in a comment on their Facebook page, was that the Destinies they were doing a Buffy the Vampire Slayer themed version. And there's a little mock-up box with all the characters on. I don't really know Destinies much, but the box mock-up makes me really interested anyway, because it's Buffy. It looks really cool. I'd love that if that was real. Bruno Cathala on his personal page on Facebook put up a thing saying he was going to sue this company who'd brought out an alternative version of The Abyss called Abyss, which is about nuns in underwater nuns, and he was going to sue them for doing it, which I thought was very funny. Good old Bruno Cathala, he's always good for a laugh. Paverson Games decided to announce an expansion for Distilled called Distilled Scratch and Sniff expansion, where you get to scratch and sniff the wine and the whiskies that you're making.
I'll play that.
That would be good. Yep, totally. Paul Grogan of Gaming Rules announced that he decided he was going to stop playing all modern board games. He'd had enough of it. He was just going to go back to the classics. And so he announced his lineup for that week of Cards Against Humanity, Monopoly, Columpton Edition, Munchkin with all 4,732 expansions, and the Scrabble Northern Edition. It's just good old Paul. Love it.
Yeah.
We expect that from you now, Paul. You have to actually do some of those. The Monopoly Clumpton would be just perfect. On the Monopoly front, Monopoly announced the Monopoly Inflation Edition, which is just like real life, where the properties get more and more expensive the longer the game goes. I think that's effectively all that it is. But yeah, they had a reprint of the board where half the prices were crossed out and they were twice the price to do anything, which I thought was great. And some of the playing pieces were slightly altered. So the ship was half sunk. The car had flat tyres, things like that. I thought that was very good. And then the final one was a Quicks So Quix is a roll and write game, and this was Quix Roll and Wipe, which is a Quix board on toilet paper. So you just need to tear your sheet off, play your little game of Quix, and then you can use the toilet paper. So very handy indeed.
I like how they got the pencil nestled into the toilet
roll. Yes, the pencil's in the toilet roll. That was very cool.
Yeah.
So that was my quick fire roundup of my April Fool's ones that I'd found.
Nice. So on to crowdfunders, and again, this is all...
Yeah, real games.
Actually, no. So first up is Tokyo Capsule Hotel, which is one Sam pulled up. No, it wasn't. Nick pulled up.
It's one I found, but it's one that Sam mentioned.
Yeah, so I haven't actually looked at this, so you'll have to take it away.
Yeah, this is in the Tokyo series from Jordan Draper Games. They did a couple of others, like the Tokyo Highway with the different level sticks and cars building. So this is Tokyo Capsule Hotel, where you are obviously building a little capsule hotel with lots of little tiny bits all over the place. I can tell you, little 95 wood capsules. It appears you're building this little capsule hotel area with lots of little wooden bits and things. Looks quite interesting. I don't know much about how it plays, but from the look of it, it looks a lot of fun. It's 2 to 5 players, 60-120 minutes. There are only 3 days left on the crowdfunder at time of recording, so it will probably be finished by the time it comes out. But it's doubled its funding goal to 500 backers, so it's looking good. If you like the other ones in the series.
Yeah, it looks all right. I think usually with these ones, that the shipping is a little bit expensive, I believe. I've lost it all now. I can't look at it again. I've lost it. It's gone from my screen. Anyway.
I'll see if I can find the shipping while you're doing stuff.
Horror on the Orient Express. So this is out at the minute. I do believe my internet's really slow, so it's like
struggling. It is on it's been on the hot list on BGG for a few weeks now. So we mentioned this as a coming soon one back in probably November-ish time, December. Heavy Cardboard had a kind of a preview playthrough of it. It looked really quite interesting. It is a horror-themed Orient Express train game. You're trying to move around the train to get rid of the horrors that keep appearing everywhere. There with your team, trying to keep your team alive. So it's in the Cthulhu mythos. Some nice little miniatures, 3D train. You can put people on, you can move them around. Other people, all the NPCs, the passengers are represented by dice, and they have different faces depending on how scared or happy they are, and they tick down when they get scared. Look, quite fun, this one. So yeah, check that out if you like that style of game.
The momentary look at it I had looks quite good. Internet is just resetting everything.
save everything.
It's just making me reload all the pages, even though I'm at it. That's, I don't know what it's doing.
Claire's watching too many shows concurrently, that's what it is.
Probably. So we mentioned this before. I mean, the box art looks amazing.
It does, and it looks like a nice production as well. Some nice pieces.
Definitely.
And they haven't gone too overboard on minis.
Come on, stop resetting yourself and just show me the game. How much is the back in, Nick? Because I can't view anything in a minute.
I'll look it up for you. So the base pledge level is about £78, which gets you the base game, an expansion, and a promo mini, and any unlocked content. You get a higher level, 115, gets you the game, the expansion, an exclusive promo mini, and Void campaign expansion. So you get an extra expansion with that, and that's it. That's only the two pledge levels. So there's the first class and the VIP levels. So it's whether or not you want the extra expansion with it, I suppose. So for what you get in the box, I think probably £78 is a decent price for the quality. That doesn't include shipping, though, so I'm not sure what the shipping is on that. It's probably a little bit on the expensive side, shipping-wise. Let me have a quick look if I can find it. Yeah, $25 shipping for the base game or $30 for the VIP. So you're probably looking at probably around £100 total, including shipping. Which might be a bit pricey. It might be worth waiting. If it, I don't know if it'll go to retail. This is published by Chaosium, Inc. So I'm not sure if it will be going to retail or not. There isn't a retail backer level, so but this doesn't mean it won't go to retail.
I'm sure, is it? I'm sure it's at UK Games Expo as well.
I'm sure they would do, yeah. If they're there.
Hey? Oh, for crying out loud. Anyway, I was trying to have a look on my app, but it's... That
the whole internet's gone down.
Yeah. So we've got some projects...
For once, Discord's actually working.
We got some upcoming projects, games coming to the market soon. First one is Rebirth, a Knizia tile-laying game from Mighty... Oh, here we go.
So, yeah, that's good. My friend's Mighty Board.
Corporate guy here.
So, well, I have nothing to do with this game, so I'm just, I don't know anything at all more than this. So they announced it just a couple of days ago, that this Rainer Knizia game called Rebirth, which is going to be a tile-laying game, is coming out, and it shot up to the number one on the BGG hot list. That's still number two at the moment. We don't really know much more about this. It's got some very nice artwork on the cover. We know it is a tile-laying game. It claims that it revitalizes the classic genre by combining Knizia's elegant mechanics with Mighty Board's evocative world-building. So we'll see what that is. It's a Euro game with some pretty artwork. So we'll see what that's like. Not too long a play, 45 to 60 minutes. So we'll learn more about that when it comes out. It's going to be out, I think, either this month or next month that comes to Kickstarter.
Yeah, they're going to have it at UK Games Expo.
Yes,
they?
I'm sure they'll have it, yeah. So... Next up is... Yeah.
Oh, there's only one picture.
Yeah, there's only one picture, so we don't know. Literally no more than that. The next on the list is a new one from Alicat Games, which is Ada's Dream. This is a game about Ada Lovelace, who built the world's first mechanical computer. And I imagine the game is about her struggle to get that built and funded. It's described as a medium-heavy Euro game with a dice rondel. And that's, again, about as much as we know about that at the moment. That's coming soon. It's got some very nice cover art, again. It's a really interesting theme. I think that theme is really good. Designer, I think... I'll have a look at the designer, because I can't really see it in the preview image. Let's see if I'm right as what I can see. So it's Tony Lopez is the designer. And I don't know what else he's done. Oh, he's done a few other things. Yeah, none that I know very well. So that looks quite nice. Check that out when that comes out. The next one from me, which Chris from the game group pointed me to this one earlier today. This is called Cyber Pet Quest, which is a cute co-op campaign game. And so I watched a playthrough from Kimberly online about this. And it is four very asymmetric characters that you're playing, and regardless of the player count, plays one to four players, you always have all four characters in play, so you're kind of just sharing out the actions between you, and you're trying to complete these little mini missions over a number of over this whole scenario. And the introductory one that Kimberly ran through just one round of, you were just trying to get your pets to in this little house. You're trying to get them to block the entrances and get rid of all the kind of the bad guys in the area, and they can all do various things, like they can move and run and attack and things, very standard things. But it looked quite cute, some cute artwork. It looked like it played quite nicely, actually. I'm not sure how well it would play with different player counts, because you have to have all four characters in regardless of the player count. I imagine it would work very nicely solo, as long as you don't mind running four characters. And I imagine four players is fine because you're playing a character each. Two and three players, I'm not sure how that would be split, but it did look very interesting. So that's coming to Kickstarter on April 16th.
Yeah, looks nice.
Yeah. Nice to see a cute co-op campaign.
My next one is, and usually because I've done all the others, is Simon's next Game Found Kickstarter. Line with the Heroes United line, which is now DC, which is not
DC
surprising.
DC Heroes United.
Yeah. So it's not surprising, since they've done now DC in the Zombicide universe.
Yep.
So it isn't a surprise now they've gone and taken it to the United side, because if they've got the IP for it, they might as well use it wherever they can. It will be interesting to see. I don't think I'll back this, because I'm not a DC fan. Plus, it's getting ridiculous now, the amount of stuff you can get for it. Because I believe it's all going to be compatible. Actually, it's been announced that it's going to be compatible, so you can have Batman against Spider-Man and Superman against Iron Man, or not against them, but they can work together, or you can fight. Yeah, so it's all going to be compatible with it. It's just going to be unwieldy. Seems that still waiting for the last lot to drop that was backed. Yeah. So it's going to be interesting to see how well the DC version does comparatively to the Marvel.
And is this the first Simon game on GameFound after they moved?
No, because their first one was... What was that?
I don't know, really.
Sure they don't. We talked about it now.
Well, they said they were going exclusive, weren't they, with GameFound. So I don't know if... I don't remember if they'd done one before. I'll have a look.
No, I'm sure they've done one already, because we were talking about whether they were trialing it before we... heard it is actually an exclusive account with them.
Right.
So
okay, they've done some others already.
I know they've done a pre-order for the Marvel RPG kind of system.
Yeah.
They're not hiding the fact of that, but yeah, I'm pretty sure this is going to be.
They've done Master of the Universe. They did.
That's right.
And deceased Zombicide game, which is the one that you mentioned.
Yeah, that was kind of a second bit. So they did it on Kickstarter first. And then they redid it on GameFound. Because I think they thought, well, they didn't raise as much as they did with the Marvel one. So they thought, let's put it out again and see if we can get more interest. And I don't think it raised that much more. But they did offer other characters for people to back in on. And this, it does make me laugh, like they're saying if you back the DC United, you will get a metal...
metal coin.
Yeah. Coin. I was like, wow, that's wonderful, great.
it's just a thing to make people follow, that's all.
Yeah. And the comments are quite interesting.
There's always
what I like
comments.
About,
always good fun.
Yeah, what I like with GameFound is like they don't restrict... like the preview of games coming up, you can actually get lots of information where you go to Kickstarter and all you get is like a front image.
It's a landing page, isn't it? With one image, yeah.
Yeah.
Not even data.
This, you can get quite a lot out of it. A lot more than Kickstarter do. And then there's the comments going on, which actually make me chuckle. So it's like one guy's put on there, firstly, RIP Chuck Norris, but Chuck Norris did fight Superman once. The loser had to wear his underwear on the outside.
That's so good.
Yeah. Oh. And he said, please, Simon, please fix Superman's sculpt and put his underwear on the outside. So I think... I can't really see the image properly, but I think...
You can't see his pants.
Yeah, he's not got the iconic red pants on the outside.
Yeah, that's all I'm about.
I'll be watching this with intent and just in fascination to see whether this does as much as
I mean, they've got
Marvel's done.
They've got 12,000 people following that page already.
Yeah.
So that's pretty good. If they even get just a quarter of that, that's going to be enough to probably get it past its funding goal.
I mean, I think some people said that, like, they all went all in on the Marvel stuff, but they're probably just back, like, the core box of this. Just to get, like, the main characters and the stretch goals kind of thing, which is usually a thing. Because it is getting a bit pricey.
Indeed.
Now,
and this then is the coming other one, in July, isn't it? So that's
This is going out in July, so plenty of time to save up your pennies if you're thinking of going towards that.
Yes.
And the other one I'm looking forward to, and it actually made me cancel my backing on the Fox experiment. So, is Castles of Burgundy Special Edition.
The reprint. So this is coming in, 8 days as of time of recording. So April 16th this starts.
So the reason I should have thought of this before, and since playing your copy, Nick, and Marcus's copy, I'm like, I really love this game. Why do I not have a copy? And then discussing it at, like, at Christmas, and there was like a little bit of an offer on at Zatu, and Sam bought his copy. Sam picked up his copy. It's a little bit gutted, and I thought, oh no, it's like, I'll see. They might bring out, they might do another chance of another print, and lo and behold, they are. So you'll be able to pick up it all again. You'll be able to get. Why can't I see the? I'm sure I was able to see a lot more than this. And oh yeah, it's below the comments.
Yeah.
So yeah, they don't hold back. You're going to get everything that was before. All the stretch goals from previously. People have asked whether they're going to fix the inlays. So it,
yes.
They sit a bit better, but they've not come back with that yet. I don't really care.
It's not that much fun. It's just if it annoys you slightly, then it just annoys you every time. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it doesn't affect gameplay at all.
Apparently, someone said one of the tiles is broken on this. Absolute broken.
Broken as in breaks the game.
Yeah, one of the yellow tiles is like 4 points for every building or something like that, brown building. I'm just trying to see it on here.
No, I don't know. I don't know this.
No.
I didn't think they added any new yellow tiles versus the old.
Maybe he's reading it wrong.
Yeah, that wouldn't surprise me.
So yeah, unless
it's part of the promo set. I don't know. So yeah, you can get it older. That's really cool.
The inserts, the metal coins, the wooden tokens. And then you can upgrade and get the expansions, the vineyard expansion, which is the best expansion.
That's brilliant. Yeah, that's really good.
Then you can get plastic tokens to replace the other tokens, and acrylic tiles, playmats, and 3D tiles as well. So you can 100 quid for the 3D terrain. Nah, you're all right.
Yeah, it's more of a pain to use 3D terrain than.
Well, this is it. I mean, it will look lovely.
It looks amazing, but yeah, it kind of affects gameplay because it blocks a lot of time blocks what you can see on other people's boards.
So special edition will be $100, if you want all that. That comes with everything, I believe. All the stretch goals, more info. That's not saying. Special edition. It's not giving the full details. Anyway, and then you can add on stuff. So yeah, I think I just like looked at it. I was like, I'm being stupid. Fox Experiment is okay.
Yeah.
But like, Castles of Burgundy is like an ultimate game.
Mm.
It's like one of my favourite games. What am I doing?
If you're gonna replay it over and over, then well worth getting.
And I do need to teach Claire it. I think she'll enjoy it.
So. Oh, she's not played.
She's not.
It's so good, Claire. Listen, right now.
Yeah, I think our top 10 of play games this year is going to be amazing. So, I do love the fact that GameFound do this stretch pay reward. So, That will be nice to spread out the cost of that.
Indeed. Yep, that's a good way of doing it.
So, yes, on to played games. I've not really played anything physically since last recording, mainly way too busy, way too many things going on. we played two games in one, Saturday. Yeah, Easter. So we're in the middle, early stages of Ticket to Ride, the legacy game, and we're in it with the kids. I explained to them right at the beginning, this is going to be a legacy game. We have to play about at least 10 times. And they never argued that. And now we're like, right, we need to play another game of Ticket to Ride. This is getting silly now. And this is on Saturday. Caitlin just had a meltdown. I don't like board games. Why are you making me play them? So we have to play the game of guilt tripping her into playing it.
Yeah.
Because it was Claire's birthday present. She absolutely loves Ticket to Ride. She really wanted this. So we get guilt tripped her into it. And then we had to crowbar the boy off the PlayStation to come down and play it.
Yes.
And he had a massive strop. But then we played a game. Oh, we also tried, we had to, when he said, the more we play, the quicker it would be over. So we'll play one tonight and then two on Monday because it was Easter.
Yeah.
And they were like, oh, okay, whatever. And then, in the end, it's so funny because Isaac was just trying to strop right at the beginning. And we had to kind of yell at him a bit to like sit up and pay attention. And he went and won. And it's quite cool because now there's a new rule being introduced where the winner gets a really big, plays a really part of what happens next.
So
I did kind of say that to him. I said, right, whoever wins gets to do this. Isn't that amazing? Whatever, Dad. just play the game. So we did get another game in. And the Monday didn't hold up with actually because Caitlin organised something and forgot she organised something conveniently. I'm trying to think whether she was ill or not, but I don't think she was. I think she convinced it. So, we're getting there. We're slowly working our way through. Not as fast as I'd like to. I am enjoying it. It's really good. It's definitely a David... No, what's his name? Friggin' hell. Forgotten his name now. Like a Matt Leacock David. It's not David, is it?
Just open the link. I'll get there. I'll get there before you do. Rob Davio.
Rob Davio, that's it. It's not David.
It's the D. It's the D note. Yeah.
Yeah. So you could, it's definitely a Rob Davio, Matt Leacock legacy game because it's got the same tropes as the Pandemic games and how that works out. But there is a lot more to it than just the Pandemic games.
Cool.
So enjoying it.
That's very cool. Yeah, if it wasn't quite so expensive, I'd be very tempted to try it out. But I don't think I'd get my kids to play that many in a row. Well, they do like Ticket to Ride. So on my played games list, there's only one that I mentioned today. I haven't played a lot of recent, but I did get to play a physical version of The Fractured Sky from Ivy Studios. Caveat that I did design the solo mode for this. However, I have not played a physical copy, and I've not played in person. I only played online since with the TTS mod originally. So it was nice to get this played, a three-player, with the retail edition, not the posh super deluxe edition with the magnetic airships, miniatures and things. This is just the retail edition. And it played very nicely. I think, bizarrely, I prefer playing it solo because it's more strategic. the way we had to design the solo mode, because it's kind of deduction and hidden information, we had to make the solo mode more strategic so it felt like you had some agency. It wasn't just random. In multiplayer, it does still feel a bit too random for me. The way Fractured Sky plays is it's like an area control game, but you're effectively bidding. It's like bidding for area control, but you're placing your three airships down and you've got a number of airships valued between 0 and 12, and you are placing, 0 and 10, and you're placing them down and building other buildings that give you boosts to your strength, and you only reveal them all at the end of the round, and you don't know which areas are necessarily going to be worth points, apart from one of the areas each round. You can peek at the cards that will tell you what areas will score, but you have to spend your resources to do that, which means you then can't spend your resources to build buildings, which give you more resources or more strength. And you're placing these discs down, and you'll reveal at the end of the round and work out who's got the most strength, and then you get points from that. And it's just played over five rounds, and you get more regions each round are going to be scoring. And yeah, it plays, it mechanically it plays very nicely. It's a very, very nice production, as always from Ivy Studios. They always do very nice productions. I kind of want a bit more control in my games that I play. I think it just has that slight too much. It gives you, it's hard to describe it. It gives you the impression that you have control and you're making intelligent decisions. And in the end, it's a little bit too swingy. You get one area you miscalculate, and you lose that, and then another one you win that you didn't expect to win, and then suddenly, even though you've gained 2 points, you've gained no resources, and then that kind of screws you for the next round. You've got no resources to build anything or to boost your strength up. So it can be quite swinging like that. You tend to score most of your points in rounds 3 to 5 anyway, once you've started building up this little engine of buildings. But saying that, you do get that feeling of you're trying to deduce what other people are playing into strengths in which areas. The one very clever mechanic I do like is that out of those discs from 0 to 10, the 1 and the 10 have different backs. All the discs are the same, apart from the 1 and the 10. They have like a star on the back instead. And so you can bluff or double bluff your opponents by putting one of those down and making them think it's the 10, and in fact it's the 1. So that adds another little, nice little element to add to the bluffing. But overall, I like it. I think it's a very nice production. It's a fun game to play. Just a little bit too on the random side for me. But solo, top notch.
Yeah. So yeah, I think that's it for podcast. Indeed. I'd like to thank everyone for listening. Hope you enjoyed it. If you did or didn't, let us know in the comments in any way via like our Discord, email, Twitter, X, Facebook, all our social media sites. Anything we discussed about in this show, you can find in the show notes on links. I can't even speak now. Put in there by Nick. And I'd like to say thanks for Nick for turning up tonight, and I hope you enjoyed yourself.
Yeah, it's good fun.
And I think that will do. Good night, everyone.
Good night, chaps.
Right.
Cool.
Ready to stop?
Yep.
3, 2, 1.
Hilarious stuff. It was great.
Now it's recording.
Right, now's the funny stuff. Okay.
Now we've got to reenact all the funny bits we just put in.
Yeah. you're trying to decide as one of those last two.
Mm-hmm. No. They're just honourable mentions.
Da-da-da-da. Sure. What's that?
Oh, yeah. Game Park. Game Park.
Oh, the new game is hot. I hadn't put that one on. Was that under General or BGA Games?
Game Park. I don't know.
Where Sam put it?
There's a Game Park game shop in
Cool.
Whoop up.
Boop bloop.
Croak. Never delay.
That sound effect.
No, that's me.
That was you just making funny noises. Can I access sounds from other places? You can't use the sound right now. No, that's annoying. Yeah.
Right, let's get going.
Cool, let's do it.
I don't think these are going to be long, are they?
What was that?
We'll
see how much we... Well, that was me going, oh, I don't know.
No, who just did something? And then something just pinged up. I've got so much.
Oh, something pinged up.
Unbelievable.
That's why it's so... That's why you need to chuck it down the stairs.
Yeah. I just also priced up my collection.
Oh, yes. Are you sitting on a gold mine there?
Yeah, £13,000, apparently.
Whoa! Wowzers.
I don't know if it's right.
Is that based on market, kind of market value, is it?
Yeah, it's based on the Board Game Geek market value, so it's like...
Okay, yeah. So that, yeah, it's a kind of second-hand market, but good quality.
Where is it again?
That's mad. Do you have to declare that on your insurance then?
Well, this is it. We might have
high priced items. But I mean, they're individual items. That's the thing.
Apparently, I've got 2,400 games worth.
Really?
That I have not played. Okay.
You own 2,400 games you've never played?
No, I own £2,440 worth of games I've played.
Oh, okay.
78 of them I have not played.
Wow. But how many of those are small box games?
That's been played. Yeah, some of these are also, like, I've not logged a play. Some of this is right. But there's also got expansions in here as well.
Yeah, because you rarely log... You'd rarely log games under just the expansion.
But then there's also games Atmosphere, the DVD game.
Yeah.
I've played that multiple times. Yep. I just not logged the play.
That was way before you started logging, was it?
Yes, it. Oh, way before. Yeah, actually, it's not too bad. I played Skull King. I don't know why. It's not registering that I played it.
Yeah, that was like a couple of months ago.
Yeah, I'm sure I've put it down, but I don't know what it's reading. Maybe it needs to be sorted out a bit. It's just a new site that I went to.
Okay,
put it in there.
Yeah,
put it in the group chat.
Oh, cool. See what mine is.
Oh, that's just my user. Hey, don't want that in there.
All right, I'll take that out. Geek group site. I think I've heard of that website. Cool, I'll try that later.
Trying to delete it all. Right.
That's pretty nice.
What's that, the app?
Yeah, the Geek Group app.
Yeah. It does other things, not just your worth. It's got Shelf of Shame.
Mm.
No, but that goes with games that you've not played for a long time.
Yeah. Well, there's quite a lot of those. Quite a lot I've not played in a while.
Yeah. Oh, this is it.
Plays less activity insights. Yeah. That's the one, isn't it? Let's see what it says. Cool. I'll have a play.
Yeah.
We can start chatting.
Definitely. Right. Are you recording?
I am indeed recording.
Okay. Turn my watch off. 3, 2, 1.